Hello there.
This is an incoming transmission from the Outer Rim Beacon.
Everything leading up to this moment has been rehearsal. The real performance is about to begin. I'm counting on it.
What's up, everybody? You have now tuned in to the Outer Rim Beacon, your frequency for the everything in that galaxy far, far away. My name is Justin, one of the hosts of the show. Joining me in a duo role today is one of my co-hosts.
This is Kyle. Shout out to Josh. We miss you. We love you. We wish you were here, but we're going to try and hold it down without you. Josh is not feeling good this week, so... He's recovering, and we're going to do our best to bring our B-plus game, at least, without him.
Our B-plus game, man.
I manage expectations, man. Yeah.
I might drop the grade down to a B-minus just by myself, so we'll see. Josh is under the weather a little bit this week, so hopefully he's feeling better and can get healthy. So,
we live in Ohio, where the temperature changes about 40 degrees every 36 hours. So that definitely, I was just like blowing my nose and doing nasal spray before this too, because it doesn't make anybody feel better.
Speaking of Ohio, where the weather is crazy, I'm going to ask you,
Lots of things are crazy in Ohio.
I know.
Yeah, go on.
Have you checked out Three Body Problem on Netflix yet?
No.
Okay. All right. I started this series, and I'm about three episodes into it, and this alien technology thing that they got, the problem that they're trying to solve in this game is literally Ohio. Right now, with it is, you'll understand if you watch it. You'll understand when you see it.
I mean, enough said. Ohio's a problem.
For those that live in Ohio and have watched this, you fully understand what I'm talking about. Where it is ridiculously crazy weather. So, hopefully Josh feels better, and hopefully our weather gets better because it's been rainy and gross and cold the last like 2 weeks. It's done.
We had fake spring for a week and everybody felt like, oh, we can be alive again. And then, nope, let's go back to real winter.
I always love that meme of like people in their, you know, convertible and they're like, oh, October in Ohio and they got the top down and then it's like spring in Ohio and like the top's up and their winter coats are on or something. It's weird. Anyway, not a lot of news this week. I did see, I don't know if you saw this or not, there's a lot of rumors out there that Rogue One is back on.
No, I didn't.
Patty Jenkins. I've not seen anything confirmed on this yet.
I don't even really know what that means, Rogue One is back on. When was Rogue... Wait, are you talking about Rogue Squadron?
Rogue Squadron.
Okay. Now I'm following. My bad. Yes.
I wrote it in my note and I read it in my note and it was the wrong note.
Okay.
Rogue Squadron. Rogue Squadron is back on. Now, I've not seen anything confirmed, but I believe Jenkins took a break initially to work on some other projects or something, or they kind of shelved it. But supposedly it's now back on. I've not seen anything confirmed on this. I don't care if it's confirmed, rumored, or what. I want Rogue Squadron. Give me Rogue Squadron.
Yeah, this is something we were excited about. So hopefully that turns out to be true. I hate to say it because I really do not appreciate spoilers. Not that this is a spoiler, but in general, the internet leaks / rumors have oftentimes been accurate in the Star Wars universe, at least in the last few years. Hopefully this one is too.
Yeah. I'd actually like Alphabet Squadron. How do I get that in a TV show or movie or something? I'd even be fine with a short run comic series because the basic fans don't even know about that.
I haven't read nearly as many Star Wars books as Justin or Josh. No problem admitting that, but the Alphabet Squadron trilogy are my favorite ones. They were so good. Page turners could not put them down. There's characters I still want to know more about. I highly, highly, highly recommend them. It would be easily adaptable into any other media, you know, a comic, a TV show, a movie, a series of movies, you know, I don't know. This is like never going to happen, but it's just so good. You should read it at least.
And we did get a little bit of Erica Quell when she was still with the Empire as a TIE pilot with the 204th, but we never got the full Alphabet Squadron after she, you know, leaves them and goes off on her own. So, yes, can we make that happen, please?
I would take it in anything. It would be ether so good.
So it happens. But yes, other than that, not much in the news this week. The Imperial March thing that was going on wraps up this week. We had a couple drops from Hasbro. Probably the most coolest thing of note, anyway, was the Black Series. At first I thought this was Vintage Collection. No, it is Black Series 4-pack of The Last Command, which includes Luke, Mara Jade, and what is it, Jason Saboreth? Is that the right, did I get it right name? Saboreth, basically the Jedi that, you know, was working to help the Empire clone Luke.
What are they asking for that? This is going for over $100 on that.
I believe it was like $89 or $85 for 4 Black Series. And it's the storybook covers, right? You know how they were releasing those figures with like the
where you open the front, yeah.
Yeah, it's in a set like that, and it looks really cool, but
The comic series where they did Darth Maul and the I think Luke with the lizard, was that the first time they did that with the storybook covers? Do you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, I think so. It was they've done a number of them, though,
and
mostly within
now.
The last, like, 2 years, I think. They really kind of pushed those, because I think they were like, hey, we can do windowless packaging, but still make this fun for people it like a book.
Why not do that slide package? I thought that was kind of the best of both worlds. You know what I'm talking about?
The, slide out.
Yeah, the Cad Bane Black Series was in. I think the Trapper Wolf Black Series is in one.
The Captain Rex in the black and blue box that slides out.
Armorer. So you get the closed box where you can do the big, big splashy cover art, but you can also slide it out and see the figure. I feel like that's the best of both worlds. Why not?
Yeah. Yep. So that was the only thing that really I caught my eye. There's a bunch of Imperial March merchandise on Amazon. You can go check that out. It's all the same logo. It's just on different things, sweatshirts, t-shirts, bags, just a number of different things. But you can find that there. And then I was going to say, so the funny thing was, I think last week I had mentioned something about the Umbra clone trooper that was being released by Hot Toys.
Mm-hmm. Black and yellow.
So apparently, super limited number, got an email on it that said, hey, you RSVP'd, we're going to open the store on, I think it was like Friday at like 4:00 in the afternoon. And it was basically like a virtual queue. So just depending on how your internet was and when you clicked on was how you got in. I had the site up probably 45 minutes before it opened up.
And it was very sure you did. Yeah.
Countdown clock. It hit, and when it put me in and I was already logged in and everything, when it put me in, I was like 3,000 and something out of, and they only had 1,500 pieces. So needless to say, they were gone by the time I got through the virtual queue, and they're currently up. There are a number of them currently up on eBay going for $500 and some odd dollars and over. And the thing retailed for, I think, $265 or $285 or something like that. Scalpers,
that. The day
you
of
suck.
The
if
next
you didn't
day,
want
I mean,
it,
come on.
Don't buy it, people.
If you're not, like if it. You don't have the decency to sit on it for a year before you put it online, then like, don't do it. Let somebody buy it that just wants to have it. I hate that.
Like, I want it for my collection. I'm not trying to resell it. Like, if you just bought it to resell it and make a profit, you suck.
And frankly, all these collectibles have gotten so expensive. Just let collectors have them, like, at face value. That's high enough. Good Lord.
And you know what? I don't necessarily mind something being like quote unquote exclusive.
No, or we appreciate
limited
that.
Edition or number. I like that because it makes you feel like you have something special that maybe somebody else doesn't. But at the same time, like there's got to be a better way to make sure it gets into collectors' hands and mm-hmm. not people that are just trying to turn a profit.
But, you know, I don't even mind somebody bought something and had it in their collection for a while and then they need to make room for something else and unload it 5 years down the road. Whatever. That's cool. But buy it and flip it that day, that week. That's...
You suck.
What are you you doing? Suck. It's not a job.
Yeah, you're terrible.
I hate this planet.
Exactly.
There we go. So anyway, that was my rant on exclusives and sideshow and the toy game, apparently. So, well, let's dive into something, though, that was truly amazing this week, which was the episode of Bad Batch that we got.
Yeah, back on track.
Yeah, season 3, episode 9, titled The Harbinger. I thought the title of this episode was poignant because Harbinger is a person or thing that announces or signals the approach of another. So, you know, I'm assuming they are referring to Asajj, who makes her appearance in this episode, as the Harbinger. She's clearly not working for anybody in this episode. She's on her own.
When she was given prophecies, you know, they're going to hunt you down was sort of like the cornerstone of what she had to say.
Yeah. So, we basically get, that was who Fennec sent was Asajj to basically tell him what M count was. And they got their answer sort of still didn't really She did say it's something in your blood that basically can help you to you potentially use the force, right?
Her answer was totally legit. Her explanation of what it is, I think, was 100% fine. I think what they're mm-hmm. missing is what all they know is the word M count. You know, they don't actually know what the Empire's trying to do. And we'll get to this when we talk about our talking points, but I think everyone is misunderstanding what the point of the M count is right now.
Yep. They've not clearly said midichlorians or anything like that. It's just M count.
Well, midichlorians are a touchy subject. And I think they're trying to like tie this all together because M count is the term they were using in The Mandalorian when they were testing on Grogu, was it not?
Yeah. Yep. Dr. Pershing, I think, was in the video message saying his M count was ridiculous.
Through the charts.
So let's dive into the Jedi Master observations. I didn't really have a good detailed one on this. I love the return of Asajj, and here's what I'm gonna say. I love seeing the point of view of different characters that are not the main characters that were involved with the Clone Wars mm-hmm. that were just pawns. But, and I'm not talking about like Obi-Wan and Anakin, because they're all pawns in this war, right?
Sure.
They were set up. But I love like when you get an Asajj or to a certain extent, Cad Bane was a pawn, right? Mm-hmm. Boba Fett. Boba Fett more so was a pawn later on from the Empire. And then you see him in Book of Boba Fett, right? And he's like, I'm my own man now. Like I'm not, nobody's using me. I like those storylines. Yeah, those story arcs are great, especially when they may have been on the dark side of things or on the bad side of things, and now they're trying to do their redemption arc. So I do love those.
People be flip-flopping. Well, also, and this is... I was about to jump to a later point. Actually, I'll just go ahead and make it right now. This is one of my nits I want to pick about this episode, but like... you know, now that we're past the Clone Wars, good guys, bad guys, like everyone was tricked. It's not like, yes, people are changing sides, but like not really, because there isn't a side anymore. And everybody, not everybody, because Palpatine's been manipulating everybody the whole time, but during the Clone Wars, everybody thought they were on the right side. And for kind of the right reasons, really, but they were all being tricked And so I think to say like people are flipping back and forth is not even true, because now people just understand like, oh, we all got hoodwinked. So it's not me versus you anymore. It's us versus him pretty much. And that's why right. I don't get that why the Bad Batch are like, oh, she was a separatist. Like, well, don't you understand at this point that like
they're gone.
Yeah. There are no separatists. The separatists were fooled just like you were fooled. You were all, like Asajj says, we were all pawns. We were all tools. We were all like manipulated. They're just like still, they just don't really have any clue what's going on, it seems like, which is crazy to me.
Yeah. Yeah. But I will say, you know, from a Jedi Master observation point, we got it right last week. I think I had said it was probably going to be Asajj.
That was a good call.
And it was Asajj. So, woo-hoo.
And I love seeing her, and I like there brings up so many more questions. Great. Yeah.
And I will say Nika Futterman, who is the voice of Asajj Ventress, does an excellent job. That voice is great. Just uber sexy voice.
Oh, I love the hair too.
Oh, the hair.
She's looking good.
She is a seductress, if you will.
What was that on her pauldron? On her, I think, left shoulder. It was blue, and then it had some kind of symbol on it. Did you notice?
It was almost like a jaggedy circle.
Something
right?
like that. Yeah, it looked maybe yep. a swirl or a circle with another circle inside of it, something like that. I didn't know if it was anything we'd ever seen before. It didn't immediately look familiar to me.
I didn't look into it. A lot of times those symbols end up being something of crime syndicates, but I can't believe that Asajj would go work for a crime syndicate. Mm-mm. She's kind of above that. She's her own person. She doesn't need to do that. I could see her being a bounty hunter and a mercenary, sure. but I don't see her as being working specifically for one crime syndicate.
Star Wars being Star Wars, it probably means something, though. And I just don't know what it is. Yeah. Or maybe nobody knows yet, but something that I noticed, and I'm sure the cosplayers noticed, and I'm curious about it.
Yep.
I did have a couple observations, though. While we're talking about Asajj, that's probably all we'll talk about all day today, but she died in a book, and Justin and I couldn't remember exactly which book. I do remember I read a long time ago the one with she and Quinlan, where they're trying to assassinate Dooku and all these things, but I know in one of the books she is supposedly killed at the end, I think with Force Lightning, and now she's alive. I believe the Jedi even like honored her because she had helped them and turned to the whatever light side, their side, whatever, the Jedi are problematic anyway. But now she's alive. So I'm wondering, she's also Dothamirian. She's a Night Sister. She was kind of laid to rest in the waters on Dothamir. Was she resurrected through some kind of magics? We know they can do crazy things. It basically brought Darth Maul back to life. It's done whatever, all kinds of stuff. I don't know. Hopefully these answers are forthcoming. They're going to have to tell us something
from the Google machine. This is the book that I have not read yet, and I don't think you've read it either, in the 2015 novel Dark Disciple.
I did read Dark Disciple.
Okay.
That's the one where she teams up with Quinlan.
With Quinlan
Vos.
And
he turns to the dark side, and there's a whole deal. Their enemies turn to lovers, so sexy. It's a good book. If you're a Clone Wars person, you should definitely read it.
But if you fast forward 30 seconds, 45
Spoiler
seconds,
alert.
If you don't want to hear this, because I haven't read this yet either, but I'm about to ruin it for myself anyway. So, it says, Ventress works with Quinlan Vos in a secret mission to assassinate Dooku and ultimately sacrifices her life to save Vos from him. So, but I think this was pre Wouldn't this have been pre when she was working with Dooku?
Oh, no, this would have been.
This is after that.
Yeah, this is like
okay.
After now with all the new Clone Wars stuff that came out since this novel, I'm not sure like 1,000% where it falls into the timeline, but late in the timeline of the Clone Wars. So
okay,
yeah.
So this is
she had already been like. Palpatine had already made Dooku get rid of her at that point, and she was like teamed up with the Night Sisters and then gone from there. Yeah.
So this would be short, probably closer to the end of Dooku's life then when he gets axed by Anakin on the ship. Yeah, so.
This is shortly before Siege of Mandalore events of Sith, Revenge of the Sith, all that stuff.
Mm-hmm. Gotcha. Okay. I don't know what, and she's, I thought she said something in this episode about I have other lives or something about that. Like it would almost made it sound like she was like a cat and had 9 lives. And I was like, say what?
Well, they'll have, you know, like this isn't as I remember it. And again, it's foggy. This book is not new. I read it quite a while ago. As I remember it, there was a whole, this is not like she fell off a cliff, no body situation. Like they found, like she was laying there dead and the Jedi like sent her to Dothamir and they put her body in the river and like floated. Like there was a whole deal. Like, so there has to be like something had to happen. It can't be, I mean, I guess it could, but it would be very disappointing for it to just be like, nope, she survived that. Like the Jedi didn't notice she was actually just not dead, or oh, she'll be dead by the time she gets there, or whatever. Like, it wasn't that.
Unlike Tech, where there is no body, so we can assume he's still alive. No, there was a very definitive dead Asajj Ventress that was in this book. So
that's why it's a good book. It's fun. And it's got Quinlan Voss in it, who's a cool Jedi, and it really gives him like a whole. A whole backstory that you don't really get from his limited time in the Clone Wars. And then he also popped up in the Kenobi miniseries.
Yep. On the wall.
Right. And I'm not going to say that cause I don't know if that's true or not, but yeah, I'm a Quinlan fan. So it's a good book and an Asajj
arguably.
Fan.
Arguably, two of the most attractive Jedi and Sith apprentices out there.
Quinlan and Asajj, of course, they fell for each other. That's they're a power couple. Too sexy not to.
This is a power couple right there. Yeah. All right. Well, let's see. What else did you have? One more
observation, and I think, and I know from Josh's notes, this is the implication he was getting, or at least it seems like that. I'm not going to speak for him since he's not here. Mm-hmm. But I think they want you to get the implication that Omega is force sensitive. But I think that's a red herring. I think she failed all those tests and she is not force sensitive. She's a clone, whatever. Is that the impression you got, that she was force sensitive?
I don't think she's force sensitive. I think she might have a higher M count, but doesn't have doesn't know how to tap in. And I think that's what Asajj was getting at, was like maybe with training she could have done it. But I think she's basically what Palpatine is trying to do. And I hate to say this, at the end of Rise of Skywalker, where he's transferring his consciousness into Rey. And because like she would like a younger body, that's essentially what I think that's what Omega is that's his like, I want to try to transfer into a younger body because clearly I can't just live as a human sustained form my entire life and my, you know, in this shape or in this form because it took a toll on his body. And like, I think that's what she is basically.
Okay. So I agree with you, and I'm going to go real deep into this right now. I think it's not so much that – so I think they want you to think it's that she has a high M count, And I think that's sort of like the implication they're making without ever saying it, and they have never said it. But I don't think that's actually the case. And that's, I think that's why she failed all this force sensitive stuff, because I mean, she's been practicing meditating, you know, from when she met the Jedi. So it's not like this is a totally foreign concept to her, and she still fell on her face, in my opinion, and like completely failed. So if you remember back at the beginning of this season, they weren't checking for M count specifically. They were checking an M count transfer, and it was about the loss of M count when they transferred it to a new host. So they were checking who was able to receive from another donor without a loss or with a minimal loss of M count. And I think that is actually what Omega is. So she doesn't have an exceptional midichlorian count. And I'm going to lean into Josh's notes here that, like, that's the situation that we ran into with Ahsoka. Everyone has some midichlorians. So everyone is connected to the Force in some way. And if you flex that muscle and train it and really work on it, you can maximize whatever your potential is. So, of course, she has some midichlorians because on some level, even though she's a clone, she is a human. Whatever. She has blood in her veins. She has midichlorians. That's how I understand it, you know. But I think it's average. What she has that's special is she's able to receive an M count, a lossless M count from someone else. And I think that's the test she passed. And like, maybe this is semantical or whatever, but I don't think they're implying that she has a high M count. I think they're implying that she could be the host. And because I think you're right, they're not trying to make more force sensitive people or find force sensitive people. They're trying to find someone who can receive Palpatine's consciousness and his force abilities, because what's the point in him living and making horcruxes really if he's just a regular dude? You know what I mean? Like, he's still got to be the Sith at the end of the day. So
it's like, oh crap, I'm stuck in this teen girl's body and I have no
now
powers.
I'm just a 14-year-old clone girl, and what was the point of that?
He's like, he just realizes there's no force powers when he's trapped in there. He's like, ah, crap. No. I don't know if that's a fate worse than death, being stuck trapped in a teenager's body again. Like, oh, man.
I wouldn't want to be a teenage me again, let alone a teenage someone else.
True. Yeah.
And maybe that's obvious, but I thought they were trying to imply that she, like, is going to be the one in a million potential Jedi clone. But I don't think that's actually the case. I think she's like a host.
Yeah. Yep. Agreed. Good point. Did you have any nits to pick with this week's episode? I it was hard for me because I really thought it was a solid episode. Other than Bad Batch still assuming that they can take down a Jedi or somebody with force abilities on their own. That was probably the only nit I had to pick. But
I sort of mentioned that already. They seem sort of obtuse just about everything. Like, I was thinking about the whole, like, oh, well, she used to be a separatist. Like, well, you used to fight for the Republic, and now both of you are up a creek. So what does it matter, man? Like, you were both had the wool pulled over your eyes. But also, yes, they literally looked her up and found, like, she was a Sith assassin and fought the Jedi regularly, and they're like, oh, we'll shoot her with our blasters. Yeah, it'll work out fine. We'll definitely take her out. Stupid. Why are these guys still so dumb? And how have they survived this long?
Right. Yeah. Like, I get it. You're really good at fighting and you work better when you're together, but you're still like,
yeah, you're still down. You're still clones. You're like, down. The greatest clones are still clones. They're not Jedi.
Right. I'm pretty sure Wolf lost an eye to Asajj.
Yeah, it took like a whole battalion to imprison Pong Krell. You know, the three of you are not going to do this. No. My only other thing,
and they had to trick him.
Right. Yeah, exactly. And which, they didn't do it by force.
Also hard to do with a Jedi.
Yeah.
yeah.
My only other thing, and this is like very nitpicky, but I feel like that, I don't even know what kind of creature it is, but like the dog, like Batcher thing.
Mm-hmm.
Why can it just do anything? Like, it's such a like save the day, deus ex machina. Like, I get it that she befriended it, she fed it, she tamed it. Cool. I get it. But like, it saves him from the monsters. It just, it like knows when Asajj is there. It like, Omega's in trouble, come help her. Like, now you can ride on my back and I know exactly where you want me to go. Like, why is this thing just like, it's a random animal that was caged and she fed some treats to. Like, this is not a, I just don't get it. Like, I don't.
It's now a domesticated dog, yeah. Basically.
Yeah, I don't know. Like
howler. What do they call? Is it howlers? I forget.
Something
what
they
like them.
That. Yeah. That. I mean, yeah, that's nitpicky, but it's a little silly to me.
No, I mean, I see it. Like, all of a sudden, it's very domesticated, and it is just living its best life out here with the Bad Batch on this.
Well, even domesticated is one thing, but like my dog lived with me for 10 years. And still, would I not be able to be like, hey, let's run up the hill to the tree and get the flower, all right? I'm going to jump on your back now. Right. Go. And like, you can't talk to it, you know? Like,
Right.
It's nice to you. It likes you. It'll follow you. But you can't, like, give it complex directions like that.
But maybe that was part of the point that Asajj was trying to get across, was like, communing with nature and animals is a very Jedi thing. And even though she's talking to Batcher understood clearly what she was asking. Mm. And it's when she came back, she's like, I passed that test. And it was like, well, okay, but if Batcher wasn't there, you wouldn't have made it.
Right.
Like, you just went, hey, I'm going to ride this thing because it's faster than I am and I can get up there and back a lot quicker.
See, that's how I felt about it. And that's like, I feel like maybe they're leaning into their, like, wanting you to think that maybe she is force sensitive, but yeah, to me, she just cheated. She's like, oh, well, I'll just ride the dog because I'm not going to make it. Yeah.
Yeah. That's what I got out of it.
Because when she was actually trying to do it, and because here's what typically happens. When you're force sensitive, it doesn't work. And then like you're put in some like stressful situation and then it works, you know, like Luke's hanging upside down. He's about to get eaten by a wampa and all of a sudden he can call the lightsaber, you know, like that's just how it goes. But like she couldn't call the fish. And then when they're about to get eaten by the, like, turtle squid sea monster thing.
Kraken.
She was still useless. So, like, it never kicked in at any point.
Yeah, which by the way, like, you go to the cave that you've been in countless times, and all of a sudden, Batcher's worried about something that's in there. Oh, but let's go in and check it out.
Yeah.
No, go back up the beach, get the Bad Batch, and come back. And go, hey, there's something in here. Like, let's not just...
Yeah, you've got the magic dog that already knows everything, even though there's no reason for it to know. You might as well listen to it, right?
Yeah. People, crazy people. It's like a horror movie cast. They're just doing all the wrong things when they're not supposed to. So,
but honestly, this was a great episode. I don't have any big complaints. The Bad Batch still makes stupid decisions. And why is that dog like so good? Whatever. But no, this was a great episode.
Yeah. No, I do have to call attention to Josh's one of his pickinits here was the whiny new Force student thing is way played out in Star Wars. He's not totally wrong about that, because every student is just doesn't want to listen to their master, and I kind of get it here because she's like, what? Who's this lady to tell me what to do about the Force when she hasn't really revealed how she understands the Force or what she knows about it. So I can understand that a little bit, and kind of the same thing with, you know, Luke and Yoda, and like, okay, well, all I know is Yoda is a Jedi master. That's literally all I know of him. So I'm supposed to just all of a sudden listen to everything that he says. But, you know, Sabine and Ahsoka, Ezra and Kanan, it all starts that way. And it ultimately, we know it doesn't end that way for most of these individuals, but yes, it is a little played out.
Well, some of it is like the Force user approach to training too. Like, they literally don't tell you anything. Reach out, period. That's
baptism by fire.
That's lesson one for everyone. And then everyone wants to be mad at the student when they like are confused / question it. Like, lift the X-Wing out of the swamp. Like, I learned about the Force yesterday. That seems impossible. Well, let me show you. It's not impossible. Yeah. Like, yeah. I don't know.
You just gotta tap into those midichlorians you got in your body, brother.
Get those microscopic little bugs in your blood, man.
You know Yoda's out there by himself. He's got some good stuff in that swamp.
On Dagobah? Yeah.
Yeah, on Dagobah.
For sure.
For sure. Yeah. So did you have any Thank the Maker fan service moments in this week's episode?
I mean, I feel like Asajj being on screen at all is fan service. As a huge Clone Wars fan, she's a top character. Love her. Love to see her back. And I think this almost demands more media. So they have to explain how she's still alive. And I guess they don't have to, but short of just like, well, they were both bounty hunters, which is pretty lame. Like, let's see how she got hooked up with Fennec Shand too.
Yeah. Yep. Do you think we'll see more of her this season?
It's like a one shot. I don't know. I'd like to think yes. I think she has definitely no love for the Empire, and these guys are clearly fighting against the Empire too, so it stands to reason that they could team up again. Always helps to have a Force user whenever, you know, shit hits the fan. So I would hope so, yes, but maybe not.
I mean, there's 6 episodes left after this one, and I'm pretty sure we get 2 again at some point, and then it's like 2-1-1-1, and it's like, or something like that. It was like 2-1-2-1 or something like that. It's a weird setup in how we get these, but we got 6 more episodes to basically get her back, and hopefully we do see her again. I mean, next week's episode is titled Identity Crisis. Maybe that's more Asajj. I don't know.
Could be.
We'll see.
I mean, did she actually leave at the end of this episode? I can't even remember.
Yeah, she got in the ship.
She did fly off,
flew out of the cave over the ocean. Yeah, which was a really cool ship, by the way. I thought it was it kind of looked like Xanadu Blood, which was Cad Bane's. I think that's Cad Bane's ship. Mm-hmm. Like the cockpit kind of looked very familiar, but then like as it peeled back, you could see it was a little bit different shape, and I was like, oh, okay, that's not his. So. I love the yellow lightsaber. I'm a sucker for the yellow lightsaber. That's probably my favorite lightsaber color. If I could pick mine for my own, if I was a Jedi, that would be it. It's representative of the Jedi Sentinel. This is usually one who honed his or her skills in a balance of combat and scholarly pursuits. So it's kind of a mix of both, which right now kind of is what Asajj is. She's a very skilled assassin. She is great with the lightsaber. She is very good with Force ability. She's very quick in hand-to-hand combat without Force ability. And in this, she kind of...
But she's a Night Sister, too. I mean, she's just an all-around badass.
Yes. Here, she kind of flexed her scholarly muscles of knowledge of Jedi and Sith. And... in the training, and you know, even though her training was probably very different than what she was giving Omega in a crash course, it's still
she was never technically trained as a Jedi or a Sith, even though she worked for and with both of them.
Yes, yep, it's crazy, right?
Yeah, she's super cool.
By far one of the coolest characters in Star Wars. Super glad to have her back, but yes, I love that it was a yellow lightsaber. She only had one, she didn't have. Two,
but it was the other one's definitely 100% her hilt, though. You know, so yeah, it is not a completely new saber. It is just either a new crystal or a purged crystal or a something.
Yep, yep, that's cool. And then Josh's was a true moment confirming Asajj's turn back to the light. Which was her thoughts on common skills and knowledge. And again, just Asajj is a badass character. So super glad she's back.
Well, and she could have, at numerous opportunities killed the three Bad Batch guys.
Yes.
Especially when they attacked her first, so, and she chose not to. So I think it's safe to say she's not just out here fighting people to fight people.
She exhibited a large amount of restraint in all of her moves. Like the one, like she, what was it? She could see Wrecker, like, and you could see her almost pause, and she had her hand out and then pushed him into crosshair behind him. Like, but she almost hesitated. She was just like, I'm just letting things come to me and dealing with them as they come, but I also don't want to like wreck these guys either.
Well, I like how
she disarmed them right from the beginning.
She disarmed them first. Yeah, that's what I was just going to say. So she's like, well, I'm going to make you guys get close to me so I can give you a last whooping to show you what's what.
Yes. You didn't know? Your ass better call somebody.
They know now.
Yeah. Oh, she did give somebody the people's elbow. She was it a Wrecker? She straight up delivered the people's elbow to the jabroni Wrecker at one point, I'm pretty sure. So, yes, she has incredible hand-to-hand combat skills. So, well, let's move into... do you have anything else for this week before I go to the next section? Do you have anything else this week you want to talk about this week's episode?
I don't think so. I think that's it. Okay. I did really like that. It looks like, to me, it looks like a giant squid with like a turtle shell on its head, kind of. But I thought it was a really cool sea monster thing. I wonder if it's got a name. We'll have to look that up at some point. But I liked it.
I thought it was like Vroth. Vorath,
maybe,
or something like that. It had it in the subtitles underneath, and it was like, yeah,
okay.
Vorath, Vasorath, or something, squeals. I'll have to look it up, but yes, it did have a name and it was mentioned in there. So, let me ask you real quick before we move on. I do like to watch it with the subtitles sometimes because then you get character names, you get a whole bunch of information that you wouldn't if you just watch it without that and then you just miss it. So we're 9 episodes in and I'm just looking at IMDb here just because this always makes me interested. What do you think are the top 2 episodes in this season so far?
Oh, geez. Give me a list of all of the names real quick while you're asking.
Confined, which was the first one. Paths Unknown, which was the kids out in the woods, the clone cadets out in the woods, Shadows of Tantus. That's the escape from Tantus that they did. Different Approach, which is, continuation of that. That's when they finally get off and they got stranded on that planet with her and Crosshair.
Mm-hmm.
The Return, which is Crosshair returns to the group. Infiltration, Batch reunites with an ally in need. That was, I think, the Rex one and the Senators, and then Extraction, which was Wolf 2 weeks ago, and then Bad Territory, which was Fennec last week, and then this week's was the Harbinger.
All right, you're asking my top 2.
Do you get one?
Did you say you're asking for my top 2 of the season?
Yeah, what are your top 2?
I think the back-to-back episodes with the clones, with Rex and Wolf and all them, those are probably my favorite 2 of the season so far. This one was great, too. This is probably 3rd. But I think...
That was one of them, Extraction.
It's hard for me to say without really going back through.
That one was a 8.0, and this is the funny thing is none of these are really high, but that one was an 8.6 Extraction. The other one was Shadows of Tantus, which we saw the Emperor basically prioritizing the project.
That was a good one too.
And that was an 8. Yeah, that was an 8.6, but none of these have been higher than an 8.6. And in fact, this week's episode was only at an 8. Yeah, I'm kind of surprised. Like, this is...
I guess if you're not, like, a huge Clone Wars fan who just is really happy to see Asajj on screen, I could see that.
Yeah.
If you take that out of it, you know, make that a random person that we don't know who claims they know about the Force, and maybe this episode's not that interesting.
Yeah. I'm kind of surprised at the season, though. Like, just, I mean, this is by far probably the most interesting Bad Batch season that we've had, I would say. And all of the episodes have been really, really good. And even the one that we said was a little slow last week's was still building.
Yeah.
No, it wasn't bad. It was just slow paced, but it was still adding depth and content to the storyline. So, but yeah, so that's where we're at with those. Let's dive into something that has got you.
Sea monster was a Varathian, which sounds like a
sounds like out of Game of Thrones.
It does sound a lot like Baratheon, but it's Varathian. Varathian.
The sea monster's name is Robert Baratheon. Robert Baratheon. Yeah, there you go. they were like, What should we name this monster? Well, I just got done watching Game of Thrones. There's this guy, Robert Baratheon, in there. That is terrible. That is terrible. All right, so
I didn't make up the name. I'm just telling you what it is because I mentioned it.
Let's dive into what's got you excited this week, Kyle? What's something non-Star Warsy that's got you juiced?
Okay, what I'm actually that's not fair because both of these things I'm going to mention are very good, but I really want to talk about X-Men again because that show is so good. There was a new episode today. They come out the same day as the Bad Batch. It is like, Josh is too kind, and he likes to say that I know a lot about Marvel. I know a little bit about Marvel. I know more about the X-Men and mutants in the Marvel universe than just like the Marvel universe in general. And I think this series, even more than the original one, which was great, is like a total love letter to X-Men fans. You can know nothing and it is great. You can know everything and it's even better because almost every scene and every other word is just an homage to something. You know, that this property has existed for like 70 years now, across, I would say, thousands of titles. Like, there's just so much to dig into that it's very easy to like make almost everything a reference, and almost everything is. And it's really, really great. But since we've already done that, I'm going to mention this book I've been reading. I'm probably maybe a third of the way in, less than half. It's called The Nightingale by Kristen Hanna, and it takes place in an occupied France during World War II, and it's about this woman who is you know, resisting the Germans and doing her part with what she can in like these extreme circumstances. I don't know. It's really good. I would recommend it. To make it Star Wars, it takes place in France where they had the French Revolution, which was the people rebelling against an oppressive empire, which is Star Wars. So there you go.
I was going to say, that's all you had to tie it. Yeah. You didn't have to go far to tie it to the other things. So, I would say, yeah, that one was kind of on the weak side for you, Kyle, but I'll give you credit.
Books are a little harder because
yes,
Kristen Hanna didn't write a Star Wars book, so what do you go there? And also, I didn't try that hard, but it still works, in my opinion.
Yeah, no, you're good. I told you, I started watching that Three Body Problem on Netflix, and I was trying to link that to Star Wars in some way, shape, or form, and I couldn't
do it.
I don't think I probably could have, like, in the 7 degrees of Kevin Bacon or whatever way, but like, I was like, I'm not going down that far of the rabbit hole. So, but I did watch something that, even though I'm late to the game with it, as I'm sure everybody's probably already seen this,
I'm looking forward to watching this either tonight or tomorrow.
Yep. I finally got to watch Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, Mutant Mayhem. Gotta love it.
Heroes on a Half Shell.
You know, there's theme songs that you just don't skip. That is one of them.
Yeah.
The X-Men show is another one. Game of Thrones, I would throw in there.
Oh, Game of Thrones again. That. Getting a lot of play in this.
Yeah, sorry. there are just some theme songs you don't skip, right? The intro to, and Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles is definitely one of them. But
I'm pretty sure Snoop Dogg and Wiz Khalifa have a song that samples that that X-Men theme song too. That. No sticks, no seeds, just Al Green. It's about smoking weed, I'm sure. If there's two people singing it.
So good though. But no, Mutant Mayhem is outstanding. The animation's great. Characters are great. I told Kyle this before the show. I thought the intro of the characters was a little weird from the backstory that we commonly know, but I'll get his take on that after the show. If anybody out there has watched it and has a take on it, I would love to hear it. But, and I'm sure Josh has probably already seen it.
We can do a whole mini segment on it next week when Josh is feeling better.
Yeah. But it does feature the voice talent of one Giancarlo Esposito.
Okay, that was easy.
Baxter Stockman. And it also includes Ice Cube, who is also known as O'Shea Jackson, whose son, O'Shea Jackson Jr., was in Kenobi as Roken.
And
O'Shea Jackson was also in a movie titled Cocaine Bear, which I have also seen, with one Alden Ehrenreich from Solo.
A.K.A. Young Han Boom. Solo. All right. Well
Look
done.
At that.
Connected Look at that like three, sir. Four times.
If you haven't seen Cocaine Bear, it is...
I haven't seen that one yet either.
It is a trip. It's a little graphic at parts, but it is...
Well, sure. It's a bear on cocaine. How could it not be?
Yes. It is bananas. It is very interesting movie. I'm amazed that wasn't made, but
Cocaine Gorilla you watched? That's a bananas joke.
You know, the jokes that were in, I would say the jokes that were in Coke, like the stuff in Cocaine Bear is over the top.
Oh, I thought it was a documentary.
Parts.
I'm just kidding.
I think it was part documentary of the guys dumping cocaine in like in the woods of Tennessee.
No,
in
I think
the,
that
like,
happened.
80s.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure that happened. But it was interesting. But yeah, TMNT, Mutant Mayhem, go watch it.
Yeah, I'm looking forward
to funny.
That.
It's funny. It's well thought out. They did a great job with it. So two thumbs up. That's my movie review of TMNT. But I'm interested in Josh's take.
I haven't asked
him about it yet. He's the TMNT expert. Yeah.
He's the resident Turtles guy.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. Anything else you want to touch on this week, Kyle, before we wrap this up and get out of here?
Asajj, but no, that's it. Got nothing else to say. You said touch on, so I made Asajj. It gross. Whatever.
I will say
she's not caked up like she was back in the 90s. She's still looking good as an animated person, but they did her a little dirty.
Yeah, they nerfed her. Curvaceous as she was, but no, I mean she's still incredibly. She's still amazing. Like such a cool character. Love the hair. I mean, don't get me wrong. She was good looking bald too, but I don't know. I'm a sucker for the half shaved head with like the hair parted over thing.
That's the classic.
I don't know why.
Look. Yeah. We got a glimpse of the Savage Land costume. I'm being such a sleaze right now, too. But this is such a good episode of X-Men.
I'm
talking about on this Star Wars podcast.
Which, by the way, the jokes in X-Men, some of them are like really corny jokes, which are great for kids. And then some of them are more adult-oriented jokes, which makes it a very watchable show for any demographic. This week's had some really good one-liners in it. And
you know the Leonardo DiCaprio meme from, I think it's from Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, where he's sitting in the chair and he's like pointing. That's me like the whole time, every episode of X-Men. It's like, oh, that's from that. That's from that. That's from that.
Now, I got to ask, do you wear your Bolaire's X-Men
no,
jacket
I do not,
every,
I do not
every Wednesday?
Suit up
like when you're getting ready
to watch
the show, you put the coat on?
No, I did not. But after we get off, I'm about to go inspect mine to see how different it is than the new one.
Yes. For those that don't know, he updated apparently the X-Men jacket to the X-Men the Letterman 97. Jacket, yeah. And we're not really sure what the difference is, but Kyle's going to go do a quick review.
Deep dive, and find out.
Yeah,
I think it just means it's made of nicer stuff. I think that's
he upgraded his materials. Yeah, and is charging $100 more, which it's fair. That's
$125
totally fair.
Like, when I bought it. The old one went up in price too, though. It was $125. I'm almost positive it was $125 when I bought it.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, it's totally fair, and he does a great job. So
no, it's great stuff. Definitely. And I know Josh has more of his stuff than I do, and I think he's happy with all of it too.
Mm-hmm, for sure. All right, well, let's wrap this up and call it a day.
Yeah, let's do it.
You're all clear, kid. Now let's blow this thing and go home.
All right, everybody. Hope you enjoyed our show this week. We talked Bad Batch Season 3, Episode 9, The Harbinger. Only 6 episodes of Bad Batch left. It's coming to an end real soon.
I think it's 6 episodes over 4 weeks, something like that.
Yeah. That's what I said. I think we get like
2-1, 2-1, or 2-1, 2-1, something like that.
So it's going to go quick, people. So be ready. Yeah, it's all wrapped up by what, May 4th, I think, is when it's done by. So, and then we'll have a couple weeks, and then we dive into Acolyte in June.
Pumped about that.
Oh, can't wait for that. So, you can catch Outer Rim Beacon anywhere you listen to podcasts. You can listen to most of our episodes out there on YouTube as well. You can find Outer Rim Beacon anywhere on social media, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, or not Twitter anymore, it's X.
I'm never calling it X.
Facebook. The X logo looking thing. Instagram. We're out there, Outer Rim Beacon. My name's Justin. You can find me on Twitter at I am the Bendu. Where are they going to find you, Kyle?
I am on social media at KB_legend. Feel free to follow me. I post silly stuff.
Nice. Josh is Battle of Tanab.
Yeah, he is. Support his band, yes. Former Critics.
Yep.
They're also on all the social medias. He never plugs them, so I will.
Very true. All right, everybody. Have a great weekend, and may the Force be with you.
Always.
Scalpers, you suck.
Yeah, don't do that.
Jerk move.
I hate this planet.
Preach.